Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Letts. I'm Heidi Shackle, the CEO of the Lettings Hub, the tenant referencing business that got good at tech. Let's Talk Letts is our regular roundup of news and views on a whole range of subjects spanning the private rental sector. In this session, I'm delighted to be joined by Teresa Wallace, Director at Savills and also the co-founder of the Lettings Industry Council. For any listeners that don't know, the Lettings Industry Council is made up of a group of experts from across the industry who feed their expertise into government, tenant bodies and the media with one voice to educate the whole private rented sector. Let's get started, Teresa. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and your role within the Lettings Industry Council.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm Teresa Wallace, married with two sons who between them have four grandchildren. So I've got four grandchildren ranging from twin boys who will be 17 next week, a 10-year-old grandson and a 5-year-old granddaughter. And she's the one that keeps us in line, an absolute delight, but quite bossy. I've worked for Savills since 2002 in residential lettings. I joined them to open a lettings department in the Seven Oaks office, which I ran for nearly 10 years. During that time, I also became a regional head looking after the Southern Region offices, joined the lettings board and worked my way up to be a director. I then moved into a national role in heading up the Compliance and Customer Services Department, which I ran for 12 years. And I joined the senior lettings team, which meant being involved in running the lettings division. I chaired the Lettings Industry Council, which I co-founded back in 2014. And I now spend a lot of my time doing industry work through TLIC.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Now, that means the Lettings Industry Council this year is going to be 10 years old. And that is a decade of so much hard work. Tell us how it came about in the first place and what inspired you to set up the group.
Okay, well, the trigger was the Tenant Fee Act. Now, if you can believe, 10 years ago, we were talking about that. Yeah. I was discussing it with Kate Faulkner, who is a consumer champion. And I was saying how nobody in the industry seemed to be doing anything about it. So we thought it would be a good idea just to get a few people around a table to discuss it. So I arranged a round table and we invited people like, well, it was the professional bodies. So the Ombudsman and Deposit yep. Schemes, ARLA, now Property Mark, RICS, Safe Agent, I think the Institute of Residential Property Management, the NRLA, and a few agents, and everyone came. So I think the biggest surprise, certainly to me, was that those professional bodies had never sat down around a table together before. And of course, we soon discovered that actually we all had the same objectives, which is to improve the PRS and to raise standards.
Was it quite a pivotal moment when everyone accepted the invitation, turned up, and everybody was in the room that very first day?
Yeah, I can remember it as well. Yes, it was just a long table that we all sat around. There was a space for everyone. I was delighted that they had all come. I'd met various people, you know, over the years in different meetings or different places. So I knew them, but maybe not particularly well. But yes, lovely that everybody came. I think everybody was delighted to come, but also just to see what was going on and what it was all about. But the fact that they'd never sat down before was incredible
I think we've seen more of that, haven't we, actually? And even, you know, as time's gone on over the 10 years whereas before people did work in isolation and very much, you know, kind of have arms around the company or the brand, everyone is now a lot more open to sharing information, improving standards, as you said, but also knowing that actually we're not really an industry that needs to compete with each other. Actually, there's a huge amount that can benefit by everybody working together.
Definitely. I think that's been a massive sea change, actually. You know, in all those years when I ran my own business, letting agents then, we just didn't, you didn't discuss, you didn't talk to your competitors. I mean, it was so different. And I'm not sure that that was terribly helpful. Obviously, we've got our commercial hats and businesses and, you know, there's confidentiality, but that doesn't matter. So much of this is what's outside of that. It's all about, I think, bringing the industry together and seeing what we can do for the good.
100%. So over that journey, what have been the kind of pivotal moments then, apart from that first meeting, which I imagine was, you know, as you said, you can still remember it now. What have been the biggest challenges, the biggest successes, like the real kind of, you know, step back a minute and kind of really look at what you've achieved with the team over the years?
Well, I think one of the things we felt was that there is a lot of incorrect data out there. And we wanted to be able to give accurate feedback to government on the PRS and the issues that we're experiencing. We wanted to do that with one voice. It's not just about discussing the issues, it's finding solutions that work in practice by people who are on the ground and actually doing the work. And, you know, and I think sometimes that's where there's a bit of a mismatch with the people that are making decisions. They're not on the ground actually experiencing this on a day-to-day basis. I have found politics very challenging and frustrating, and how long it takes to make any change at all. And in fact, getting the industry together was the easy part.
Yeah. I suppose just even going back to what you were saying, if the TLIC was formed in 2014, the Tenant Fees Act actually came in 5 years later in 2019. And I suppose that's a good example of things that are talked about for a really long time before they come to fruition. And keeping the momentum up and everybody being encouraged along the way to participate, because for anybody that didn't know, everybody that's involved in TLIC, and we'll tell you more a bit later of potentially how you can get involved if you're an agent and want to, but it's all voluntary and there's a huge amount of time and effort and expertise that are given to it. But do you think that one of the key things that the council has been able to achieve is to provide not just information to the government, but therefore workable solutions? Rather than just saying we disagree with that, that's not really going to work, even if really within the PRS we believe that, is it's kind of, I suppose, playing the politics game and trying to find a way through.
Yeah, definitely. It's finding solutions that will work, or if you really believe it's not going to work, then it's explaining why and maybe finding something that will work that addresses the situation, if you see what I mean. So,
yeah,
I think just having a voice and being able to feed into the PRS team at Dulac and the meetings that have come from that. I don't think you can ever quantify exactly how much change or how much input maybe that we have had. But I'm sure we have, because they do listen, and to be able to talk to them, I think is a bit, it's something that wasn't happening in the past, and is happening so much more now. The industry is so much more engaged now than it was 10 years ago.
And I think as well, you mentioned Dulac back, they obviously attend some of the meetings to then provide an update to the industry representatives.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a massive, I think, a huge step forward when they were invited to come and talk. And they do come to every meeting now. And it's, it's a two-way conversation. It's so that they can give us an update, but also if we feel that we want them to be aware of something, we have a voice that they can then take back to discuss further.
What about your biggest frustration that you kind of have experienced as a group along the way, would you say, so far, one of the biggest challenges?
I think it is politics. It is getting the people that make these decisions to understand, when you're working on the ground, how difficult it can be. And also, I think when changes are introduced and I think they're getting much better at this, releasing updates or guidance, you know, at midnight and then expecting you to be able to make all the changes that are necessary very quickly. I think that has been something that's been frustrating. However, that doesn't happen like that now anymore. I think we have lead-in times now that they understand just how much we have to change with our processes and our paperwork and our guides and our letters and everything else. You know, even small changes can have a massive knock-on effect for an agent.
And actually, not having that lead time ends up with the reverse happening in the fact that we end up doing it wrong because yes. We're in this transition and it's like fast, 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 quick, quick, quick. And actually, we need that lead time to get it right, I think, definitely across the industry. In terms of, the lessons grants have been involved in so many things from, helping with energy regulations, licensing, the student housing sector. We've mentioned the Tenant Fees Act, rental reform is a very hot topic at the moment. Can you imagine a world without this voice now in the letting sector?
I would hate to. No, I think TLIC has certainly filled a void by the things that you've mentioned, you know, feeding into consultations, the various meetings, the achievements, you know, visiting Number 10, meeting with Michael Gove, visiting the House of Commons, the House of Lords, giving evidence to MPs. I'm at a meeting next week doing something similar. I think all of those things, they're great achievements, and I think they have all made a difference. And I think we can continue to do that. There's no point in having a group unless it's doing something. I think sharing the information amongst ourselves has been very helpful, particularly, I think, for smaller agents that might maybe don't have the access to the, you know, to some of the information that we do. So sharing that, I think, is helpful. And I think there's so many things coming along the way. It's not going to suddenly, what are we going to do next? There is always something to do. And I think the Renters Reform Bill, we know that's going to be the biggest change that we'll see if and when it comes in. I mean, who knows? You just don't know with politics. But I think it's a great opportunity. I think the property portal is a huge opportunity. And I think that's something that we want to spend some time working with the government to make sure that that is not just a landlord registration scheme. I mean, I can actually see that property portal could replace the need for selective licensing schemes. We don't want duplication and double cost when it really isn't necessary. So yeah. I think there's a lot of work to be done on that.
So let's kind of talk about some of the kind of pending things. We've talked about Renters Reform Bill. We've talked about the property portal there. What are the key things, are the kind of hot topics at the minute that, you think are going to land in the next, I don't even know how many years, and several years, that are going to have a real change in our industry?
Energy efficiency will come back. That has to come back, doesn't it? Because, the pledge that they've made. So that will come back into lettings. And I think that's something that, you know, we want to be able to feed into and have time to adjust to that. The decent home standard, that's another thing, you know, and let's hope we can end up with one standard rather than, you know, all of the various standards that are out there with HHSRS. And I think it all needs to be pulled in under one roof. And I mean, nothing is simple, but to make it easier for agents to be compliant, we want to be compliant, but when there is so much that you're trying to work your way through to see what you can and can't do, I think if we could just, you know, if the decent home standard could embrace everything, and that's the standard that we need to work to.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's unfortunately nothing is simple, but if we don't make it easy, then we're not going to comply. And then, you know, the reverse is going to happen. And, you know, I think everyone's going to get a little bit, you know, panicked about what they should and shouldn't be doing. And that kind of breeds a whole nother problem. If you were to have a magic wand, which unfortunately I don't have, but if we had one and there was a couple of things that you really wish you could change about the PRS, either in terms of how it works now, or, you know, with some of the changes that are kind of coming, of how we really would like to change them, what would those wishes be?
Well, putting the property portal aside, I think material information.
Yeah.
That we're all, you know, desperately trying hard to grapple with and to be as compliant as we can. But I think it's very hard to be 100% compliant because we literally cannot get the information. So I think I would like to see the guidance dumbed down a little bit so that we can still meet the objective, which I'm fully supportive of, but so that we're actually able to do it and the information that we literally cannot get, which I think comes further down the line, maybe with a survey, that we're not held responsible for that. I mean, there's so many things, but I think, and it is part of the Renters Reform Bill, but obviously the courts and how they deal with possession cases and the time it's taking. I know that they're looking into that and they've said that they won't abolish Section 21 until the courts are ready, but I do have some concerns there because I think the amount of investment and resource that is needed isn't something that you can just suddenly put right overnight. And I am concerned about the number of landlords leaving the sector, and because of, you know, their concerns over the bill that's coming their way. And we need those landlords, and we need to encourage more landlords into the sector. And so I think we really want to see the courts being able to deliver when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously for us, we see data across many, many, many agencies nationally in the UK when we're trying to get possession under rent and legal protection. And we are seeing it literally extend. Yeah. There clearly is a massive problem. The other thing I personally would love to see is that if a tenant is evicted and possession is granted, that somehow goes on their record. Because we see too many times over somebody getting evicted from one house and then trying to move in to another with a clean credit record completely. Mm-hmm. And with no kind of central database for the industry, you know, there isn't many other things in the UK that would go to court and then not necessarily have a CCJ or some impact on somebody's file. And it nearly makes the whole thing invisible.
Yeah, and it makes it very hard for, obviously, for referencing companies, but for agents, for landlords.
Yeah. Yes. There's always tenants that obviously fall on hard times, and therefore, you know, I think it would encourage more conversation then about early surrender of tenancy. And we'd also be very supportive to agents to release tenants from their contract. I mean, with rent reform, that's going to be the way it works anyway, potentially, you know, much quicker. So I think that that's the way it'll go, and therefore possession might be granted much quicker simply because the tenant will have more freedom to move. But otherwise, I think it's just that extra thing that makes people maybe do the right thing and not cause such a long process for everybody where the outcome just gets worse over time. So going back to what we were saying, 10 years is obviously quite some anniversary. And when we look at how much the sector has changed in that time, it's near enough unrecognisable in some senses. Where do you see TLIC going next? What would the next kind of 5 to 10 years look like? What would you hope?
I think licensing schemes in their current format are really difficult for agents, particularly agents across the country, because there is no consistency. Every scheme is different. People are trying to comply, but sometimes you miss a scheme has started, or you know, you don't realise how many people are in the property because somebody else has moved in and suddenly it needs a licence and you're not aware of it. And it's as if sometimes, you know, they're there to trip you up. That's how it can seem. So I think, although I don't feel we need all of the licensing schemes once the property portal is in, if there is a need for some, definitely in certain areas, large HMOs, I can definitely see the benefits. But I think we need much more consistency you know, if let the local authorities run their own schemes, but they need to be consistent from an administration point of view. So it doesn't matter which scheme or what part of the country you're in, you know that it is the same information that's required to be uploaded. And I think on that, digitization is definitely the way forward and sharing data. And that's what I really want to see with the property portal and using unique property reference numbers. In fact, TLIC have a working group at the moment looking at new PRNs and sharing data and just, you know, how it could change so many things in the future and open so many doors. It would just be great for everybody, for agents, for enforcement, you know, even for tenants and for landlords. So I think that could be that certainly is something for the future that we're working on. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a long term project. But, you know, integration, as you know, Heidi, with your own system, if you can integrate with the CRM and you can upload things so much easier, that's what we want to see with the property portal. We don't want to see it, you know, bringing in additional work. We want it to make life easier for agents.
Well, there's going to be a lot less duplication, a huge amount of less room for error, but also just the visibility.
Yes.
And therefore the transparency. So the, you know, the speed of everything should help, which is kind of what we want, isn't it? And with the demand on housing and, you know, everything has sped up, hasn't it? You know, I know from a referencing point of view, I know referencing, you know, getting a reference back has always been important, but more so now than ever, everybody is so desperate for that house. It's like, I need it now, because the void periods have obviously come right down.
And that's not going to change overnight, is it? I mean, really, our biggest issue is that we don't have enough social homes. The PRS wasn't built to house the amount of people that we've now got renting, you know, and so many of them should be in social homes. And, you know, a lot of those at that end of the market, there are vulnerable tenants. And that's where I think the rogue landlords are and taking advantage. Building more social homes would solve so many issues and would certainly help the PRS.
I think as well, as you know, new legislation comes in, landlords and agents that represent those landlords are going to choose tenants more wisely, you know, if we don't already do that. Because, I mean, I look at, you know, the renters reform bill and I'm thinking, well, anybody that's on a temporary contract of employment, you know, or even a fixed term contract of employment at the moment, if their contract of employment extends past the tenancy term, then we're safe, really. In the new world, we don't know how long that tenancy term is going to be. And therefore, you know, if there's other people that are in, you know, solid, permanent, full-time work, you can see how they're going to be favoured or more guarantors are going to be needed. I can see how things are going to change over time. And you're right, potentially the less vulnerable tenants or the people that really need the housing the most are going to be pushed to the bottom of the pile.
Abolishing Section 21 is not going to solve the housing crisis. It never was, but we've just had to accept that. You know, they're dead set on that happening, and we just need to find the best way of dealing with it.
Yeah, 100%. So if, like you mentioned earlier, the Leicester Industry Council is all about improving the standards, people giving up their own time. Many people are involved in working groups where they do contribute a lot of their time, their expertise for free, and they get involved. And about once a quarter, the group get together, either face to face or on a kind of a dial in if they can't make it face to face, to kind of have a summary, I guess, on all the things that have been going on, and obviously hear back from the government as well. If there are letting agents out there that are particularly keen to get involved, how would they do that? Is it kind of a closed group? Is it an invitation only? How could somebody become involved?
It's a completely open group. Everyone is welcome. I think the thing to be aware of is that personal objectives are left on the doorstep. Yeah. So TLIC has not been a platform for companies to sell their wares. It is about improving the industry, sharing information, actually, we want to see minimum standards for all rental properties. So it is consumer focused. I think the sharing of information is helpful to everybody. And we have speakers. We meet 3 times a year and we have speakers. I think it's great if people can come face to face, but we do a hybrid. We do have people joining online because they're from all over the country. And, you know, it can be a long trip to London for some people. But yes, it's open to anybody and who feels that they can get something out of it. They can either email me and they'll just get added to the invitee list, or we have a website. So just looking on the Lettings Industry Council website, there's a contact us. You can just fill in a form and you can get an invitation sent that way. So yes, very open and welcoming.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. I would support that. I think there's always such, it's got a great culture, but for so many different agents and businesses that work really differently, they really do come together and have one culture of sharing information, helping each other and doing good, which I think is brilliant. Now, for many of you, you'll know Teresa is a very familiar face in our industry, but I wanted to share some information about some things that you might not know. Now, I picked up from your LinkedIn profile that you actually started out as an apprentice hairdresser in Harrods.
I did.
In the late 1970s. I'm sure it was very glamorous back then. But I kind of, I'm sure our listeners would love to know how you transitioned from hairdressing into the property sector.
Okay, so I can't say I was enjoying school very much, so I thought I'd leave because my friend was going to do a hairdressing apprenticeship. I'd had a Saturday job to earn money doing that, and I thought that's what I would do. But then I thought, well, if you're going to do it, I think you do it in the best place that you can, which is why I then went to Harrods. And I did love working there, I must say, and I felt very grown up commuting to London. However, I'm not so sure that washing hair was particularly glamorous.
Yeah.
But actually getting into lettings was a complete accident. Back in the late 80s, my husband and I were converting the house that we were living in into flats. And we got so far and then we had to move out to be able to knock a few walls down and finish it off. I'd never rented before, but that was our only option. And really, that's how I discovered the whole new world of lettings. I mean, it was such an eye opener. And the lady that I found a property through asked me to work for her. And that was my first job in lettings. Before long, I started my own business, which I ran for 10 years. And then I joined Savills back in 2002. And I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, the rest is history, as they say.
Yes.
And what would be your most favourite thing, do you think, about the working in the private rented sector and in lettings?
I love the people. And I think every day is different because you never know what's going to come up each day. It never ceases to amaze me, actually, how you continue to learn in this business. You never stop learning. There's always something different that's going on. So I think probably I think the people and the variety.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think as well, the time goes so fast. I don't think I've had one day where I've felt the time drag.
Never.
And I just sometimes wish I had more hours in the day, sadly, at work, which, you know, whenever I said that to my husband.
I feel like that every day, Heidi.
Yeah. I just think if I just had an extra 2 hours a day, I could have done so much more. And even though you plan to do it the next day, it never quite works out like that.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you so much, Teresa, for a fantastic session. But before you go, our regular listeners of Let's Talk Let's will know that we always ask at the end of every podcast for our guests if they have a funny story or anecdote.
Well, nothing to do with lettings.
Okay.
But between being a hairdresser and getting into lettings, back in 1985, I owned a nightclub.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted my nightclub to be upmarket and for the over 25s. And I set a dress code of no jeans, but very soon discovered, actually, that didn't matter what you set, guys still turned up in jeans. So we bought some trousers from the charity shop, put them in a box, and I met my husband when he turned up in jeans, was happy to change into a pair of trousers from the box. And he was then the only one that had the nerve to ask me to dance in front of three rather large burly bouncers who I had on the door that would look out for me. And we've been together ever since.
Oh, that's a lovely story.
And he still wears jeans.
I think that that is actually a really good story, especially based on how my experience of working with Teresa has always been finding solutions to every problem. And I guess that is at the heart of what the Leicester Industry Council actually does, isn't it, really, in terms of trying to find a better way through.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much. To ensure you never miss an episode of Let's Talk Let's, please follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please leave us a review if you like what you hear, and thank you so much for listening.
Let's Talk Let's, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.